A somewhat frustrated European Union has given Britain some headroom to find a way out of its Brexit quagmire. The bloc has agreed to an extension to the country's departure from the EU until Halloween. Trick or treat. To discuss Brexit and more, Ryan Heath, Politico Europe's political editor. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, always a pleasure.
So, yeah, welcome back to Inside Europe. So, they had a late-night press conference earlier in the week, and Theresa May came out at the end of it, and she acknowledged the frustration.
I know that there is huge frustration from many people that I had to request this extension. The UK should have left the EU by now, and I sincerely regret the fact that I have not yet been able to persuade Parliament to approve a deal which would allow the UK to leave in a smooth and orderly way.
So that's Theresa May speaking. You know, she's full of regret.
She is, and she pointed out in that press conference that she herself has voted for Brexit three times now, and she's deeply frustrated that the members of Parliament who want to see Brexit happen and the others who are going along with it to respect the democratic result of the referendum haven't found a way to support her. But it leaves her still in a very difficult position. She's got 6 months to sort it out, but without going to another referendum or without moving closer to the EU, for example, by joining a customs union and giving up some of that control over trade policy that the UK has been hoping for, until she does that, it's very hard to see a way out of this situation.
But not many of the other MPs like her deal. I think that's a huge issue. And also, the EU says that they're not going to change it.
Absolutely. The MPs don't like a lot of things. We've seen them vote down literally every possible option at this point. And so I think that time will clarify some of that. Eventually, you know, you will have to drop some of those options they were voting on a couple of weeks ago, but they're going to have to choose. And if they're not willing to choose, they will have to go to a general election or a referendum so that someone else does the choosing. And that's just the simple math of it. Someone has to make a choice. Otherwise, on October 31, they will be out once and for all.
And do you think that's going to happen? Because I noticed that Donald Tusk also gave a press conference, and he just hinted that the UK will also have the possibility, perhaps, of cancelling Brexit.
Until the end of this period, the UK will also have the possibility to revoke Article 50 and cancel Brexit altogether.
Donald Tusk would love to see that happen. And I think, of course, that many people across Europe would like to see it happen, but they've given up betting on it or trying to engineer it. Now the ball is really firmly in the UK's court here. They have to decide once and for all what they want. And I think for them to create the referendum or to reverse the result, there has to be more organisation from opposition parties and more organisation at the grassroots level. And the key block on that so far has been the Labour Party, because they've been playing for time. They wanted Theresa May to own Brexit. And now that we're in this stage of cross-party talks, it's going to become clearer that Jeremy Corbyn isn't really a fan of the EU and that he's not really doing all that he could to create a situation for a second referendum or a reversal of the result. And so there's going to be some more pressure on him in coming months to really clarify his position.
Jeremy Corbyn, of course, the head of the opposition Labour Party. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting few months, really, is to see how this plays out. Ryan, I also want to talk to you. I want to turn to the right and talk about Salvini, Italy's interior minister, because he's been busy gathering a handful of European far-right parties to forge some kind of a nationalist alliance ahead of next month's European parliamentary elections.
Yeah, absolutely. That was the big European Parliament news of the week. Aside, of course, from the fact that the Brits look like they'll be voting in that election that takes place at the end of May. And what we're really looking at here is the struggle that the Eurosceptic and the populist forces have in being united. Because if they all united, they could be the biggest group in the European Parliament. And they fail to do that. So they really reduce their impact in the EU. And Matteo Salvini has tried to appoint himself as the head of all of those groups and to try and rally different parties behind him. And he looks like he's succeeded in getting six or seven different parties to join a new grouping. Now, four of them were already in that grouping, so it's not the revolution that he may paint it as, but he's gotten some Finnish parties, he's gotten a Danish party to get involved, people that have a long track record of Euroscepticism. And so his goal is really to kind of become the third or possibly even the second biggest force, depending on how many parties he can get on his side. And his idea is now to not just throw rocks, not be like the Nigel Farage who wants to leave the EU, but somehow really push for change and really sort of block up the EU engine from the inside.
Just because those parties are on the right doesn't mean they're on the same page with all the issues. And I mean, a lot of them within their blocks of parties, they can't agree with within their groupings. So how are they going to unite as one huge big party?
Well, that is the big difficulty that a nationalist has, is how to work with people from other nations. So at a surface level, they like protecting their own interests and making sure the EU doesn't get too big and strong or interfering in national affairs. But you're absolutely right. So the attitudes in Italy or Hungary to Russia are very different to the ones that you will find in the Baltics or in Poland, for example. And you can sort of pick almost any issue you want. You know, Salvini doesn't pretend that migration can stop. It's literally an impossible task given Italy's coastline. But Viktor Orban wants his border wall. Poland wants to say no to refugees arriving there. So they have big differences from the get-go. I think what you're likely to see is those three or four Eurosceptic groups reduced to two, but they'll have to stay in two different camps because that's kind of the limit of the consensus they'll be able to build.
Okay, Ryan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ryan Heath, their political editor from Politico Europe.